Haiti prepares to celebrate Aristide's return. The group blamed for killing an Israeli soldier threatens more kidnappings. U.S. forces in the Persian Gulf may be home for Christmas. Good morning, this is Frank Sedapani with the CBS World News Roundup. As giddy Haitians danced in the streets, President Aristide left Washington for Port-au-Prince and a triumphant return from 1,111 days in exile.
On behalf of my nation, I would like to share my sincere thanks to you.
This is Dan Revive in Port-au-Prince. U.S. officials say they've been working intensively but long distance with Aristide to orchestrate his return. Embassy spokesman Stanley Schrager.
It's President Aristide's event. President Aristide is the star of the show, as he deservedly should be.
We Americans are happy to facilitate, says Schrager, and that largely means security. The U.S. providing the armed escorts, the bulletproof glass shield that Aristide will stand behind when delivering a speech, and the tanks parked across the street from the presidential palace. U.S. officials hope Aristide supporters don't get out of hand. They sang his name last night after ransacking another police station. Officials doubt that supporters of the former military regime would try today to attack President Aristide or the over 100 American VIPs, including members of Congress and Secretary of State Warren Christopher. For the view outside the palace gates, here's newsman Robert Berger.
Haitians have been waiting a long time for this day, a day of celebration.
I say it's a day of joy because it's basically the victory over evil.
I think it should be the greatest day for us. Aristide, we love him very much.
But when the celebrations are over, Aristide will have to get down to the business of rebuilding Haiti. U.S. Ambassador William Swing.
Well, it's going to be undoubtedly a very difficult, in some ways a daunting challenge, because apart from having long been the poorest country in our hemisphere, it has been badly devastated by the economic policies of the last 3 years.
People here won't be thinking about that challenge today. They'll leave the problems of tomorrow for tomorrow. Robert Berger for CBS News. Port-au-Prince.
The death of Israeli soldier Nachshon Waxman, allegedly at the hands of radical Islamic kidnappers during an abortive rescue mission, has cast a pall over Middle East peace efforts. But Israeli spokesman Uri Dromi vows the process will go forward.
We're not going to stop the peace process, because then it's only playing into the hands of those extremists.
For its part, the group Hamas has threatened to kidnap more Israelis. Jesse Shulman has the latest from Jerusalem.
Briefly with Israeli soldiers in the West Bank city of Nablus, there have been strikes in the West Bank and a rally in the Gaza Strip. The protesters are angered by Israel's killing of three fundamentalist gunmen in the failed rescue attempt, but they're angry also at the PLO for arresting Islamic militants during the search for the missing soldier. Israeli leaders had insisted the hostage was being held in the Gaza Strip on territory the PLO controlled. In fact, he was in the Israeli-held West Bank. But Prime Minister Rabin is still pressuring PLO leader Yasser Arafat to put the Islamic radicals out of business. In Israel, support for Rabin's decision to order the raid seems solid despite its failure. Political opposition groups who rarely have a kind word for Rabin are saying he did the right thing this time. Jesse Shulman, CBS News, Jerusalem.
At a breakfast mess with Marines on the amphibious assault ship USS Tripoli, Secretary of Defense William Perry said the rapid response to Iraq's troop buildup along the border with Kuwait saved the world from a second Persian Gulf War.
I think we were successful, and the good news about that means you'll probably be able to get back home on your regular deployment time. That's back in California before Christmas, with good luck.
But Perry told the Leathernecks Saddam Hussein could still rearrange those homecoming plans.
We're not out of the woods on this yet, though. He's moving his Republican guards back north now, but they're not all the way back. So we're still watching that very carefully. And until he's fully back in place, we're going to stay at a high readiness.
Backing away from an assessment he made yesterday, Perry now says the crack Republican Guard units still in the border zone do not appear to be digging in and may simply be waiting for a ride home. In Kuwait, many still want the ultimate solution. Kimberly Dozier reports.
Kuwaiti officials urged the UN to use force against Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein to drive his troops once and for all out of southern Iraq. The Kuwaiti cabinet rejects the Russian peace plan with Iraq, saying it allows the Iraqi leader to get off too easily for the 1990 invasion of Kuwait. While the plan provides for Iraqi recognition of Kuwaiti borders, officials say it makes no guarantees that Iraq will stop threatening its tiny oil-rich neighbor to the south. A Kuwaiti government insider says the country has budgeted $10 billion to pay for Allied efforts to drive back Iraqi troops. Kimberly Dozier for CBS News, Kuwait City.
President Clinton tells the Washington Post he's ready to do whatever it takes to remove the Iraqi threat, but has not yet decided on military action. The Post says he expressed irritation with Russia's attempts to negotiate an easing of U.N. sanctions against Baghdad. Russian Foreign Minister Kozarev denies he's trying to reward Iraqi belligerents.
If all the resolutions are fulfilled, all the requirements are met, then there is no point anymore in sanctions. But this doesn't mean any reward for what happened now, for this crisis.
The U.S. will press for a Security Council vote today to ban elite Iraqi troops from the border region. The Justice Department has opened a preliminary inquiry in the case of Housing Secretary Henry Cisneros. The investigation involves payments to a former mistress and whether Cisneros misled federal agents who asked about the payments when he was being interviewed for appointment to the Clinton cabinet. A bargaining marathon has produced a tentative settlement in the week-long Denver teachers' strike. School Board President Tom Morrow.
Working conditions and professional standards have been clarified. And I think we have a strong agreement that will last us for many years, and hopefully we'll never have to experience one of these again.
If the teachers ratify the agreement, schools will be back to normal next Tuesday. The Justice Department is sending 65 more federal prosecutors to California, Texas, Arizona, and New Mexico to crack down on illegal aliens. The move comes in the midst of criticism and lawsuits from states that say their taxpayers have been unfairly forced to pay the cost of illegal migration. Despite last week's recall, thousands of suspected cases of salmonella poisoning in three dozen states have been linked to Schwann's ice cream. 400 cases have been confirmed. It's 10 past.